from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Walt Frazier flat out said it. They're tanking.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Show me the incentive and I'll show you the result. The incentive for the teams is to get the highest pick possible.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL draft analyst Field Yates. Royals first baseman Vinny Pasquantino. Coming up, Basketball Hall of Famer Tim Hardaway Sr. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yeah. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air here from Los Angeles, California, site of the NBA All-Star Game, just up the road from us here in our El Segundo Los Angeles studios. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We say hello to the ESPN audience that's checking us out right now on Disney Plus, also on ESPN, the app, and thrilled to have here in studio. This is his book called Killer Crossover, because he had one, to say the least. 13 years in the NBA, five-time All-Star Basketball Hall of Famer Tim Hardaway is here. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Right. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
It's been a while.
We did some sports centers together back
in
the day.
Yes, we did.
You were at the end of your playing career.
Yes.
Just kicking tires on the media and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Awesome. And it's great to see you again.
Yeah, it's always nice seeing you.
So what does it mean for you to come to an All-Star game and just hang out?
Network, see the guys, see the, you know, retired guys, see the, you know, new guys that's playing, just reminiscing, talking. Just having fun, and, you know, Norm Nixon and lovely wife, Debbie, we was at their dance studio last night. That they doing beautiful things, beautiful work here, and we just, you know, just chopping it up, having fun.
Also, so you can confirm that fame does live forever?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Make sure. See, I know Debbie Allen. I remember the whole business. Yeah. All right, so you were an All-Star for the first time in 1991.
Yes.
And, man, there were some all-time greats that were on these teams. What's it like a kid from Chicago by way of UTEP, Golden State Warriors, just a couple years in the league as an NBA All-Star, walking around? And who'd you see? Who'd you meet? What's your memories of all that?
You know, first of all, when I got to the All-Star game, a friend of mine, I was like, we's going to a party or something. Mm-hmm. And it was like 30 of us. And I said, man, I can't get all 30 of us in.
Yes, right.
And I turned around, and he said, yo, man, you Tim Hardaway, you an all-star. You going to get all 30 of us in. So I get to the door.
And you're like, I'm plus 29?
Yeah. So I get to the door. I'm like, oh, man, okay, I know this is not going to work out. So I get to the door and I say, hey, man, you know, he said, how many? I said, it's 30 of us. He said, come right on in. I was like, okay, I am an all-star. All right. I'm like, okay, yeah, all right. And it went from there. But, you know, sometimes you got to have friends that take you, put you over that hump to make you understand, you know, who you are and what you're doing in this league and why you're an all-star. And that's when I knew that I belong, when he let all 30 of us in.
I love that. I thought the story would be, you know, hey, I'm all-star teammates with Magic Johnson and James Worthy. No. And you're like, no, I could get plus 29 into a club.
Yes, I get plus 29 in a club. But I will tell you this. My first game we played at the Forum, the Great Western Forum.
Yes.
Don Nelson he kind of got on me because I was at, first of all, I was at Great Western Forum, and I was like, oh man, I'm at the Great Western Forum and I'm playing against Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And for a first half, I was in a daze. I was like, as a rookie, I was like, wow. And then after he got on me at halftime, I snapped out of it. But by that time, it was too late. They was killing us by 30.
So Don Nelson, being your head coach of the Golden State Warriors at the time, noticed that your head was in the clouds a little bit.
Right, right.
I don't blame you. This is the Showtime Lakers in the Great Western Forum, right? I mean,
man, you see them on TV, and you see them doing Magic and Worthy and Kareem and Byron Scott and A.C. Green and all those guys doing their thing. And then you, as a rookie, you on the floor, and you're about to compete against them. Yeah, at that particular time, it was overwhelming for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I at halftime, I snapped out of it, and I was all right after that. But yeah, it was kind of the lights was bright then.
Mm-hmm. Tim Hardaway Sr. here on the Rich Eisen Show. Killer Crossover is his book. Get it where all books can be acquired. Here on the Rich Eisen Show, the Run TMC poster. We have it for you to take a look at from back in the day. When you see this poster that's on the screen, what do you think of when you see this, Tim?
I see it every day at the house.
You do?
Yes, I have it at the house. I see it every day. I ask Chris Mullin and Mitch Richmond, do they have it? And they say yes, they see it every day. Every time I see that, I think that we could have won a championship with the Golden State Warriors back in the day. If Don Nelson did not trade Mitch Richmond and gave us a chance and built around us as a core, we would have won a championship, because a lot of teams were scared of us, all three of us. They didn't know how to control all three of us on the court. And we just needed, you know, a center. And when we had Alton Lister, he had tore his Achilles the first year he was there. He had tore his Achilles, and we had to, you know, supplement, and we had to go to gimmicks back and gimmicks and doing stuff again. But once he became healthy, then Mitch got traded. But I think we could have won a championship in Golden State with us three as the core and putting pieces around us. So when I look at that picture every day, I just shake my head. But you know, Chris and Mitch, we keep up with each other. We talk, our families, we talk with each other all the time. When we get in the room together, it's you need a mic and a film in us, because that's all we do. We just laugh, we reminisce, we joke, we have fun, and we go out and shoot some.
You do. Who still is closest to their game at this day and age? Run TMC.
Chris Mullin. He's still closest to his game. Then Mitch Richmond is close. I'm further back because I just watch my son play a lot and just watch him do his thing.
It.
And
right.
Yeah, that's all.
Right. I'm so psyched that I get to ask this question. Did you guys ever meet Run DMC?
Yes. Okay. Actually, Chris used to go to St. John's with one of the guys.
Uh-huh.
I forget his name, which one he did, but he used to go to St. John's with one of them. And, you know, during the playoffs, we was playing L.A.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it came out, Run TMC and all that. So we was playing the playoffs, and the worst thing we could have ever done was have Run DMC introduce us. So we went in a form. All right, we went in the form. All right, we come back home, Run DMC is introducing us before the game. And as he's introducing us, I see Magic huddle his team around him. And, you know, to what some of the guys was telling me, like, you know, they making a mockery of this game, and they got Run DMC here. They want to think that we not, you know, ready to play. And when he did that, when I saw that, I was like, we in trouble. We are in serious trouble. So I'm playing against him, I'm watching him, but on TV, how he orchestrated everything and how he his leadership out there on the court.
Magic.
You're talking. Magic. Yeah. And what he was doing with his teammates and making them understand, yo, let's run this offense. Let's get into this offense quickly. Let's do this. This guy, they knew who was going to shoot. They knew who was getting the ball. They were setting screens and everything. And I was like, and I was just looking at that. And I watched film after we lost the series to him. And I was like, that's how we got to play. That's how our mentality has to be. And from that point on, that's the way my mentality was the rest of my career. But I saw when we had Run DMC introduce us, I was like, that was the wrong move.
That was the right.
That was the wrong move.
Was it Reverend Run? Did Reverend Run go to St. John's?
Oh, did no, it wasn't Reverend. I know it wasn't the Reverend Run.
Okay.
It was the taller one.
Okay.
I forget his name, but yeah, it was a taller one.
Went to St. John,
and not the DJ either. It was the DJ. Yeah,
it was DMC.
It was
DMC went to St. John.
Okay, made the mistake of.
Yeah, our organization we made, and we was like, all right, that's cool, let's do it, yeah. And then, like I said, we was like, I was like, we made a big mistake.
Mm.
Not against Magic. You know, it could have been against somebody like the Supersonics or even, you know.
Gary Payton. Gary Payton wasn't there yet, but they wouldn't have stood for it.
Right.
Maybe nobody would have stood
for it. Nobody would have stood for it. I'm just naming.
I know that. You know, I get it.
But Magic, I saw Magic. Once he got them together, I was like, we in trouble, y'all.
Last night, Tim Hardaway Sr., LeBron James became the oldest player in the history of the NBA with a triple-double. When you watch him do stuff like this at this age and have more points than Kareem and what he's doing at this advanced age, maybe not even for him, but for most other humans, what do you think of when you see that?
I love it. I love it. I love him going out there and competing the way he competes, how he does it out there on the court, the way he has taken care of his body.
Mm-hmm.
For this long in his career, but he's still playing at a high level, so I could still see him playing another year.
Mm.
You know, because there's nobody out there stopping him. You know, like taking initiative. All right, I'm gonna go out here and stop LeBron James. He's going out there doing whatever he wants to do, how he wants to do it in his 21st, 22nd year in the NBA, And there's nobody in the league that's stopping him or taking the onuses to go out there and stop him. So I think he could play another year at the way he takes care of his body. But it's remarkable, man, what he's out there doing, how he's doing it. And I love watching him. I love watching him play.
I mean, I'm just seeing at the end of your career, was he was just getting into the league, I think.
Yes, he was just coming into the league. I got a story for you. So we was in Chicago. And we had this run. Tim Grover had this run. It was Michael, Scotty, myself, Antoine Walker, and a lot of other guys in there. And they was like, yeah, LeBron coming today. So he was in high school still. And he had just broke his wrist, and he was coming out of the cast and everything. And I knew that he was going to be really, really, really good. I didn't know he was going to be this great, but I knew he was going to be really, really good. So he came down on a fast break. And it was like a 3-on-2. And we was going to see what he was going to do. So I had the front. Somebody had the back. And we went and tried not, so he wouldn't pass. He took off from the free throw line.
Mm.
He just took off.
Mm.
Excuse my French. And we was like, damn. And you just see him just going up. He missed a dunk because he was so frantic. But he just took off from the free throw line. You just saw him dunk. And he hit the back of the rim and went all the way down the court. But I was like, yeah, that's impressive. Even though you missed a dunk.
You're right.
But you to just take off from the free throw line, that's very impressive.
Well, I'm sure he wanted to show off a little bit, right?
Oh, I think he still has some jitters because he was in front of Mike. This is his first time playing.
In front of Mike?
With Mike, in front of Mike, on the same court as Mike. I think this was his first time with Scotty. And then, like I say, just got the cast off a week early, and they's like, come to Chicago and let's play. So I think he was still, you know, he was just hyped up to come there and play. But after he missed that dunk, you saw what he could do out there. His all around game. You know, his jump shot wasn't there, but you could tell that it would be there later on in his career. But but yeah, we saw that he was it.
What's your favorite Jordan story?
Oh, man. I got a bunch of them. My favorite one. So we we in we at the All-Star game in New York, and we sitting down, and Michael can't find his briefcase. You know, his briefcase, okay, you know, that he always carry around.
Mm-hmm.
So he told the security guard, he said, "Hey, I left my briefcase at the hotel. Somebody got to go get it." And he subbed himself out. And the security guard came back, and I was sitting right next to him. Hit him on, we found the briefcase. We got everything that's good. Mike got up, called the timeout. The coach was like, "Huh?" He said, "Timeout." He subbed who wanted, he wanted in with him. And this was against Kobe. He subbed who he wanted to get with him. And he went out there and got triple double and won the MVP. I said, "Now that's power."
That he sent somebody home.
No, he
for the briefcase.
No, he sent somebody to the hotel.
Right, okay,
in New York.
Right, for the briefcase.
Yeah, security guard, the head security, Horace Ballmer. Mm-hmm. God rest his soul. He passed away. But Horace Ballmer came back and tapped him on the shoulder.
Yeah, got
you. We got the briefcase. He got up.
Mm-hmm.
He got up. The mm-hmm. coach didn't. He didn't say call timeout. He got up and said timeout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How was the briefcase related to the?
He was discombobulated.
Ah, so he finally got locked in.
Right. He you know, that briefcase discombobulated him some way. And once they said, "We got the briefcase," he was like, "Okay, I'm ready to go."
As a Knick fan hearing this story.
But this was All-Star. This wasn't a Knick game.
No. You're talking about Madison Square Garden. If all I knew to try and get Jordan off his game would be to take his briefcase away from him, I'd have been like, somebody.
This was All-Star.
It doesn't matter. It's Madison Square Garden. He's discombobulated. Take that man's briefcase away from him. And, you know?
That was in 1998 All-Star.
Yes.
Well, that's the one where Kobe famously waved Karl Malone off
yes.
the box, right?
Yes.
He's like, "I want this."
Yes. Yes.
I'll never forget that one.
Yes, that was 98. He was going against Kobe. Kobe made Michael play one-on-one against him, whole court. Like, "You're going to stick me, I'm going to stick you." But that's how Kobe wanted it.
Yeah.
He wanted, like they say, all the smoke. He wanted it. And, he said, "Yeah, I got some more to work on."
I'll never forget that All-Star game. Yeah, that's the one where Stuart Scott and I drove down after a Saturday night Sports Center because he was disappointed that he'd had to do Sports Center with me instead of hanging at the All-Star game all weekend long. Do you got a Stuart story? Do you remember him?
Yeah,
Your highlights. I know he loved your crossover. Well,
yes.
And plus you were two Chicago guys.
Yes.
He loved you.
I loved him too. I worked with him and you know, I didn't know that he was going through all the cancer,
right,
and chemo and everything.
Right.
And it was very, very remarkable how he did his job. Okay. Because you're looking at the teleprompter.
Right.
He really couldn't see.
He couldn't see, Tim.
He could not see. So when he's talking, they talking in his ear.
Yes.
And he's talking to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, "Yeah, we're going to video." He's like, he was like this in the, on the table. He was looking down.
Right at it.
Right at it. Look, that's how close he needed to
right,
be
right.
to see
yes.
what he was talking about. And I'm over, and I'm right next to him, and I'm like, damn. Wow. I was impressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people talk about him, I seen it firsthand how great he was at his job. I seen firsthand how he prepared
mm-hmm.
for his job. And I said, man, if anybody could see him or anybody watched him or anybody was in just was around him,
mm-hmm.
you are fortunate to have seen a great person. I mean, not only do his job, but just a great person.
You know, he was also great at everything, but he was great at, and certainly towards the end of his life when he was really sick, mm-hmm. he still did it anyway, the trophy presentation after
yes.
NBA finals.
Yes.
He was awesome at that.
Yes.
He was great, you know, because yes. you also don't want to give up the microphone because some people always grab the microphone
right.
and try and say something.
Exactly.
He was a maestro at getting people in there and
yes.
having fun and being chill about it.
Exactly.
But he did love you.
Yeah, I love them too. We talk all the time. When you know you got to get there early, 3-4 hours early, and we just chop it up.
Yeah.
And he'd just be doing his job, doing his work, and we doing our stuff. And we just chop it up for another 15 minutes, just talk. And, you know, he loves sports in general.
I know, but he also is a real competitor. Did he ever try to cross over you?
Did he ever try to say,
hey, let me show you what I've got?
He wanted to go to University of Connecticut, and he wanted to play me one-on-one. He did want to play me one-on-one. I was like, Stu, you know. Come on, man. I mean, I love you, but, you know, Come on now.
This totally tracks. This tracks. I knew it.
He's very competitive now.
And at some point, he'd be like, I know you've got your name of your books, Killer Crossover.
Yes.
But he probably said, I've got one too.
Yeah, he did say that. And I was like, I don't want to go out there and embarrass you. I do not, because if we going to be on camera, then he's going to want to do some stuff, and I'm going to have to show him some stuff, and it's going to be on camera.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to embarrass him on camera.
Yeah. Who's the best point guard in the NBA today?
You're
sitting around. You've got your league pass. You could choose whatever point guard you want to watch in the NBA.
Cade Cunningham.
Why?
Why? Because his confidence. He's putting the team on his back. The team, his leadership. He's leading his team to, and nobody knew this, first in the Eastern Conference, number one in the Eastern Conference right now. And they got a 5-game, 7-game lead on New York and Boston. But he has put that team on his back. I love how he goes out there and plays. And I knew he was going to be an all-star, and I knew he was going to be an MVP candidate this year. And the way he plays, it shows. He's a hard-nosed player. And a lot of people really, really, really don't know about his defense. He plays great defense, and if you're not careful, if you think you're going up for a dunk, or if you think you're going up for a layup, he's throwing that stuff off the glass. So, yeah, he got sneaky hops, and he will throw your stuff off the glass, and he will dunk on you. So, yeah, I love watching Cade Cunningham. Of course, I love watching Brunson and SGA, but I say right now the best point guard is Cade Cunningham.
Well, 40 wins by the All-Star break out of 53 games for the Detroit Pistons. 5.5-game lead is not too shabby. And you're a perfect guy to have sitting in this chair. News just broke.
Yes.
That Chris Paul is retiring.
Yeah.
I give you the floor on his greatness. What do you think?
You know, I was on my way here, and I read it on my phone. And I was like, wow. You know, first of all, it's a shame what happened with him and Clippers. That was just a shame and atrocious, and I'm quite sure he's going to say his side and everything. But great career. He didn't go out the way he should have went out. But you know, like they say, he is a point god. if I'm gonna tell you this, he taught so many guys how to play and taught them what they needed to do to get better on and off the court. So, for instance, we're talking about SGA from OKC. If he didn't have Chris Paul tutelage for 1 year, I don't think that he would understand how good he would be at this particular point. I think it would take him another 2 years. But at that particular time, when Chris Paul left and he was with him, he knew how good he was and what he can be in this league. And that was because of Chris Paul. So, yeah, I mean, Chris Paul, he has taught a lot of these point guards and tutored them. And he's still doing great things off the court with kids, too. With his academy and everything. But, man, fabulous career. It's a shame that he didn't go out the way he wanted to go out. But I feel that for him to come out and retire – I feel that he's comfortable with it.
We'll have an orange jacket with you.
Oh, no question. First ballot Hall of Famer. No question. He'd be first ballot Hall of Famer. And he's going to be right there. No question.
You got a question, TJ, before we let Tim Hardaway Sr. go on his day?
Yeah, sure. So, Tim, you know, we're on the sports show and everyone loves lists. And before you came out, Brockman and I were talking about this. It's something that he and I do regularly. But if you were to give your Mount Rushmore of point gods, who would make up that Mount Rushmore?
Well, of course, Isaiah Thomas.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. The real one. You know, we're talking about Zeke. Detroit Pistons.
Okay.
From Chicago, Isaiah Thomas.
Zeke.
Zeke. Magic.
Mm-hmm. That's two. You're halfway home.
Oscar Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
John Stockton.
That's your four. Mm-hmm.
I saw it.
That's a good four. That's a good one.
You can, but you know what? You can't never go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could pick Jason Kidd. You could pick
Steph.
Steph.
GP.
GP. Myself.
Jerry West.
Chris Paul. I mean, it's a lot of point guards. Of course. That's, you know, Kevin Johnson. You know, I mean, it's a lot of point guards that was out there.
But who had the best crossover?
Tim Hardaway. Senior. You better believe it.
Did UTEP two-step?
UTEP two-step.
Yep.
Cross them ankles up. But, yeah, go get my book. Tells about my story, how I made it from the streets of Chicago to basketball royalty. It was tough. It was difficult. Talk about my, you know, growing up and, you know, my dad was an alcoholic and, you know, he was domestic violence, you know, and stuff like that. So it was hard, man. It was hard. And, so it tells about my life and it's a good book for kids to read because you can make it. You just got to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to be strong. And, you know, we didn't know we had mental illness back then. We did not know that. We did not know that we could talk to people back then.
Sure.
But now you have somebody to talk to if you have mental illness. You have somebody to talk to. You have somebody that you always go to and talk. And I advise you to go and talk to somebody because you need to get that off your mind. You need to get that off your chest. And what got it off my chest was playing basketball in the streets of Chicago where I could go out there and use that to my advantage to get better and to get stronger and make my life easier. So, yeah, that's my book right there.
Killer Crossover, My Life from the Chicago Streets to Basketball Royalty, forward by Chris Mullen, which is pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah, on the back, Muggsy Bogues is giving you a few words. Isaiah Thomas, that's pretty cool for you, obviously, to have him.
You know, Isaiah was my basketball idol when I was growing up. My dad played basketball legend in the city of Chicago also. I used to go watch him play. But my grammar school coach took me out of school one day, and we went to, it's called the Amphitheater, and he was out there, and he said, take a look at number 11 on the white team, St. Joseph team. And I'm looking at him. I see him, how he controls everything. I said, you know, great ball player. He's doing whatever. He said, yeah, you play just like him. I was like, get out of here. Come on now.
Yeah.
He said, right now, you play just like him. This is how you can control the whole situation. So I just started watching Isaiah do my, you know, as he went through Indiana, Detroit Pistons, and as I went to Carver, UTEP, I kept an eye on Isaiah, and he was my basketball, you know, legend, and I you know, I patterned my game after him.
And sir, you did a great job of that. And number 10 in your program, the only person who prevented you from wearing number 10, if I'm not mistaken, was Manute Bol when you were a rookie.
Yeah, man, you know.
You were wearing five.
I was wearing five. He told me, yeah, you know, give me your whole contract. I said, you want $500,000? That's all I'm making. He said, yes, I want the whole contract. Let's see how much you really want this number 10. I went back to the equipment manager. I said, I will take number five. I said, yeah, I take number five.
And you waited him out.
Hey, I waited him out. And then Nelly, the next year, was like, okay, Manute, we're going to give you the boot and let him get his number 10.
Killer Crossover. Again, get where all books are sold. Great to
Amazon,
see you.
Amazon,
and where all books are sold. Hey, thanks for coming here.
Thank you
anytime
for having
you're
me.
Anytime you're in L.A., let me know. I'll have you back here anytime. Just
appreciate
chop it up like it's you, me, and Stu again.
Exactly.
Back in the
early
aughts.
That's what it's supposed to be.
That's the way it's
always. I love everything. You're doing a great job.
Thanks,
Tim. Great work.
Really appreciate that. Tim Hardaway Sr. right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Your phone calls still to come right here on the show.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's go to Christian in Toronto. He's been hanging on forever. What's up, Christian? How you been?
How's it going, guys? Everything good?
Great, what's up, thank you.
What's
yep.
happening, uh-huh. man?
Not bad. So quickly before my question, I know you asked about the Olympics. Which sport would you want and wouldn't you want? I'm going to go with snowboard cross I would want to do, and I wouldn't want to participate in anything related to the luge.
Yeah, the luge is just something that I'm sure luge people will be like, you can absolutely steer it.
Luge people.
You luge people. Again, doesn't number 10 on the screen look like he is
fear.
Frightened out of his mind?
Fear.
This is, are his eyes open? They got right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Hanging on for dear life.
So I thought I'd bring forth to you a popular debate across like sports media, X, the Instagram, whatever. I don't think you've commented on it yet, like definitively, but anyway. Okay. So with a 2-year body of work, how would you rank the 2024 QB draft class, like 1 to 5?
Well, you mean rank them right now, all 6 of them, is what you're saying?
Well, sure, you could do 6. That's fine.
Well, who are you leaving out? Who are you leaving out, bud? You're leaving out J.J. McCarthy? Is that why you're leaving him out? Is that what's happening?
Well,
Penix?
I want to see what you have to say. I have my opinion, but I want to see what you have.
Well, he and Penix both have a jury out on him still. I mean, I think the 4 other guys have proven their mettle as being bona fide starters in the NFL and ones that can, you know, go deep into the playoffs for sure. I mean, Caleb Williams just redeemed his first season and everything that he was concerned about going to Chicago. Thanks for the call, Christian, and food for thought here. I'm going to talk this out here. Caleb, everything that he was concerned about going into the draft and saying, sure, draft me, Chicago, everything he was concerned about happened in his first year there, right? All the fears about him and his dad had about being drafted by the Bears were realized in the first year, and then Ben Johnson came in and wiped that all away, and now off they go. Jaden Daniels' first year was one of the greatest we've seen.
That was great.
Yeah.
And then he gets hurt. So we need to see what year 3 looks like. Drake May, year 1, sort of in a dustbin similar to Caleb's first year, wouldn't you say? Except Caleb started all the games.
Right.
Drake May didn't. Didn't clearly have the right coaching staff. Now he does.
Clearly.
Boom. 14 wins.
Super Bowl.
I don't want to hear about him getting his, you know, butt beat.
He made the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Come on.
Give him a little credit.
Made the
Super Bowl and should have been MVP if it wasn't for someone in this room.
Okay. and Bo Nix, I think he's yet to win a playoff game, but. Damn, man, I wish I would have seen what he looked like in the AFC Championship game in that game.
Sure.
And then, so he ranked them in terms of what their career is going to look like? Is that what he's saying?
Or as they stand today.
As they stand today?
I assume that's what he meant.
If I had to take one of them out of all of them, who would I choose? Is that what he's basically asking me?
Or just power rank them. Bo Nix did win a playoff game this year, obviously.
Pardon me, yeah. I mean,
just rank them. This is straight up top 5.
Well, obviously 5 is JJ / Penix, whose starter role next year I don't think is guaranteed.
I think you're right about
that. And I think, you know, Penix for sure might not even be ready.
Right.
And then there's JJ McCarthy, who I think is going to start week 1 of next year. You know, again, the coach said that organizations fail young quarterbacks before the other way around.
I mean, Kirk Cousins might be back in Minnesota.
If I had a guess, Atlanta's going to keep him. They'll figure out how to keep him.
Release and resign.
Catch and release. Yeah. Release and catch.
Catch and release.
You know, release and catch.
Going fishing in
that. Yeah, I mean, Stefanski and he have a history, and I think Atlanta would be wise to figure out a way to keep him there. And if not, if I'm the Jets, I'm like, Kirk, do you want to come here? I'm sure his answer would be like, no. He already said no to them when they were in a worse situation.
True.
I mean, when they were in a better situation. Have you noticed I'm tap dancing long enough to not be held to account here?
You want me to do it?
I got it.
Well, you're just delaying. Yeah. Like you're like Cage going to bed, stalling.
I did that too as a kid. I like that.
Okay.
Okay. It's always good. You can do that.
Oh, look, if man. Kirk Cousins I'll go
back up to Minnesota.
I'll go Knicks 4, Jaden Daniels 3, because I don't know what he's going to look like coming back.
The new offensive coordinator.
I'll go May 2, and I'll go Caleb 1.
Ooh.
Not surprising.
Ooh.
I don't know why it's not surprising.
I mean, it's probably correct answer.
Let me ask you this question. Chris.
Disagree.
Heart of hearts.
Well, of course you would.
Heart of hearts.
Oh, look at this.
Greg May is better than
I
Caleb
want
Williams.
You removing
come on. Oh. Come on, guys.
The emotion from it. I want all emotion removed from it. Boom. I just removed it. Boom. Boom.
Like Poltergeist.
Boom.
The house is clean.
The house is clean. You get to choose one to be the quarterback of the New England Patriots moving forward. Drake May's never played a game for the Patriots yet. He's not, you know, Drake May. You haven't fallen in love with him as well. You should. Remove it from all. You really don't take Caleb Williams with what we've just seen from him.
One guy went to the Super Bowl and should have been MVP.
One team.
And the other guy didn't.
One team.
Like, what are we doing?
TJ, I should ask you. Since you are legitimately emotionally removed from this question.
I got no dog in this fight.
I mean,
correct.
Sound like Tom Brady.
It does.
Here's the deal, right? My first blush, as I've learned from you, is to say Caleb. I'm hesitant to give Drake credit, not because I don't think he's good, just because I got to hear it from this guy every day. But if I take him out of the equation,
then remove
Drake May is phenomenal, right? You can't, and I feel like he's going to be great. But
Caleb Williams? Caleb,
there's
recency bias because Jaden Daniels looked great in year one.
See, I don't want to do the steak and the sizzle, right? Because Caleb, you see a lot of flashy plays, and I think your eye gets drawn to that.
Yeah,
I don't know if that necessarily makes him better.
Yes.
Than Drake at football.
Okay,
though. So I'm going to say Caleb.
I'll say what's super unpopular. I think Bo Nix is better than Jaden Daniels.
Ooh.
I mean, he's super unpopular.
His availability certainly surpasses it, even with his ankle being broken, supposedly because it was bound to be, based on all the reports and kind of what his coach put out there. Really,
I think this class.
You take Nix's 2 year body of work over Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, for sure.
1 year body of work.
Yeah.
Oh, that 1 year body of work was
sensational.
It was sensational. It was nice.
I think the best thing about Sam finally winning is as a sports talk world, we won't get away from this. But now we got to give these quarterbacks in their first, second, even third years a little bit more leniency. Than we've been giving them.
Sir, you are way off on that one. Now, you could counsel it.
I said
but
it's not
the
going
fact
to
that they just did what they've done is you're on the clock, Fernando Mendoza. You're on the clock, Ty Simpson. You're on the clock.
So
anybody
you
who's drafted.
Fernando Mendoza is going to go to the Raiders and then within 2 years make them a contender? It don't work like that. The line gets
fixed.
It just happened.
I remember.
It took you guys $300 million to put players on that
team.
And
the Raiders have that type
good.
Of cap space.
I remember a time, if I may, sound like a...
In
my day, I understand.
Get off my lawn.
Okay. I remember a time when the Pittsburgh Steelers chose a kid out of Miami, Ohio that nobody really ever watched play. He got thrown into the mix. I will never forget how he got thrown into that mix in Miami where there was this crazy storm that happened. Mm-hmm. And he's got to start. Alan Faneca was like, really? We're starting this kid? We're benching, was it Tommy Maddox?
Yeah.
We're benching our guy for the kid? Really? This knucklehead from Miami of Ohio, we gotta go.
Didn't Tommy get hurt?
He didn't lose a game until the AFC Championship game. And everyone in the NFL is like, we are starting anybody that we draft in that position, and they better do as well as Big Ben. And the pressure was on to the point where a couple years later, the Packers go and draft Favre's replacement and sit him. And everyone's like, what the hell are they doing? Mm. So, yeah. The fact that we're asking these questions, this caller from Toronto, Christian, just put me in a little bit of a blender on the spot, is 100% going to put the pressure on the kids that just got drafted last year and the ones coming this year.
I guess 100%. Being that, look how long it took Sam, look how long it took Baker. Like, not all these guys are going to be in a situation where
the first two years
are going to be able to get it done.
I fully believe you, and I hear you. I get it. But I think I'm right here because I know what the name of the show is. Ken Jennings said it as well, you know. And I told you Larry did Wordle. Let's take a break here.
Rich Eisen is right.
Thank you. He has no idea what I'm referring to. He's only been here every day this week.
But that's a first time.
Back to wrap this show in a second.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show is one big simulcast. We're back here on the radio. LeBron, a triple-double last night. The oldest to do such a thing. He was asked after the game if he was, in fact, still having fun.
You were oozing joy before the game. Cameras caught you dancing. Where did that joy come from tonight?
That's always me. I don't know. I mean, it's always, I'm a goofy-ass 41-year-old kid. I mean, that's, I think people should know that by now, right? I think that's, you know, yeah, that's just me. I'm just a goofy, I get to play basketball. Like, they pay me to play basketball. Like, why wouldn't I be happy about that? I get to be with my son and my teammates and people, all these unbelievable fans. They've watched me throughout my career and they give me all the support and love. And it's like I enjoy what I do. So have fun. You see me on the court, see me in the back. I just love what I do.
Mm-hmm. Still going at it.
Yeah, sure.
Ladies and gentlemen. He's truly one of the LeBron haters of all time.
But he claims
he's on the Mount Rushmore,
Everything points to you being.
Oh, he's goofy. He's out there having fun, flopping and rolling around and faking getting hit in
the
face.
He's trying to win.
Sure.
Yeah. You're not trying.
Best actor?
Why not? By the way, he was outstanding as an actor for Judd Apatow.
He really was.
Outstanding. Him and John Cena were the stars. Okay?
True.
All right. At any rate,
he and Bill Hader had great chemistry.
It's just great to see. I still can't, you know, we just talked with Tim Hardaway about Stuart Scott. I did SportsCenter after
high school,
his
right?
high school games. It's 2026. He's triple-doubling. It's unbelievable. Cool. It's unbelievable. And it's just also unbelievable that he's the second Los Angeles star player to be referred to as a goofy ass this week. He referred to himself as such, LeBron. Puka Nacua.
Good one, Rick.
On the business end of such a slander. Or an accurate description from Ernest Jones IV.
I mean, hey.
Who's the third Los Angeles star?
Things in threes.
To be called a goofy ass.
I'm sitting next to him.
There he is. Mike Del Tufo, goofy ass.
Wait, Chris, you just called him a star in Los Angeles.
Yeah, let's not do that. Don't feed the animals.
He's on the halftime show.
We don't want to bleep what I'm going to say right now.
When it comes to your home, Pella Windows and Doors always has the winning game plan for you. They're not just window and door experts. They're experts at taking care of you and your home. At Pella, they find the products that meet your needs, and their experts install them. They do it every day, and that's why your neighbors trust them. Discover why Pella is a trusted choice for homeowners everywhere. Visit Pella.com/Eisen today. That's Pella.com/Eisen. Fun show. Thanks to Tim Hardaway Sr. Thanks to Field Yates. Yep. And thanks to Vinny Pasquantino for zooming in from the Cactus League for the Kansas City Royals.
That's a first, right?
That's maybe a first from the Cactus League, where the Dodgers play and their star defensive pitcher and designated hitter, the goofy ass Shohei Ohtani.
Del Tufo
and the goofy ass
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.